This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. I have a very special guest. Her name is Tamara Miller Davis. She's going to be talking about digital wellness, which means limiting screen time, consciously using tech with intention, and having rules around screens for kids. Tamara is the author of the novel Despite the Buzz, in which she used a filter of fiction to creatively speak up for digital wellness. She is passionate about writing therapeutically for oneself and to share, about teaching sincerely and respectfully connecting with people. Welcome to the show, Tamara. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much. I'm doing great.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about yourself and why the digital wellness is important to you.
Yeah, so as a parent and educator, I started noticing students using cell phones at school and in class, and they seemed distracting. And I could feel the tug of tech myself this last decade. And I decided to explore the idea of technology's influence and do research and write about it. So in 2017, I made a New Year's resolution to detail a novel. Yeah, so that's when it started. I had some ideas in place and I expanded upon them. I wanted to experience the creative process and learn about the craft of writing, a big project. So that's the backstory there.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit, because it's not very usual, and I did that with one of my books. Why did you decide to make it a novel?
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to use the filter of fiction to creatively speak up for causes I care about. And I think that fiction appeals to some people more than others, and it allows for them to reflect upon their own life and what resonates with them. And so this book enables people to examine their own habits with contemporary communication and relate maybe to some of the characters and what they go through. And I also wanted to have a variety of viewpoints. So the student characters in this offer that. It is set in a reflective writing classroom in California, starring a teacher as the main character. And because I am a substitute teacher and I was a summer camp teacher and I've been a tutor, I wanted to use my teacher training and experience to tell a story.
Awesome. I love that. What I love about fiction, and you said it a little bit, is that you can relate with a character and just feel what it's like to be that character. It's very different from reading a self-help book or a nonfiction book. I love that. Very nice. So you did quite a bit of research for this book, obviously. Did you come across anything that really caught your attention or stood out in a big way?
Yeah, so this book was published in 2021, and screen use for teens and tweens really went up during the pandemic because we were all reliant upon technology. And excessive screen use can lead to depression, anxiety, body image issues, social media comparison, and insomnia. And that is the cause that I care about. So I wanted to present that information and offer resources to people while still telling a story. And I read a study that said people in the U.S. check their phones about 80 times a day within 24 hours.
Wow.
So 80 times a day. Yeah, it was really striking to me. And that's an older study from 2020. But while I was writing the book, I kept that in mind. And nowadays, 85% of Americans have a smartphone. So we are using them. It's part of our culture and part of our world. But I'm encouraging people to go about it thoughtfully and consciously and intentionally and to have rules for kids and structure in place in their classrooms and their homes, depending if it's a teacher or a parent, and just balance life online with life outside and do that with your values in mind and in alignment with your principles and what works for your family and your workplace.
I love that you're talking about this. You know, not too many people talk about this and certainly not write a book about it. The part that you said that you know, the kids spent that whole 2020 and maybe part of 2021 in virtual classes, right? On the computer almost all day. And it's exhausting. I have two granddaughters that I could see that it's just exhausting to be on there. So it's interesting, the data that you came across. I didn't know about the insomnia and the other things. I just figured it would be, you know, exhausting or tiring for your eyes, things like that. And that can continue even if you're not in virtual school just by having too much screen time. Very good. So tell us a little bit about, you mentioned to me early, you know, before the interview about your son and your rules for him for electronics.
Yeah, so this conversation encompasses social media, technology in general, smartphones, mm-hmm. and tech use, really. So I signed a pledge called Wait Until 8th for my son. He is in 7th grade. And there is a website out there that I recommend to parents, Wait Until 8th. And the idea is if parents sign it, there is solidarity with this understanding that we won't be getting our kids' cell phones just yet, that we will let them be little longer. And there are some drawbacks to that come up on occasion, but to me they're worthwhile to delay mm-hmm. getting him a phone until at least 8th grade. And then when 8th grade comes around, I might consider a low-tech phone or basic phone. Some people call these dumb phones, if you will. And that website offers suggestions to parents for low-tech options, such as watches and phones that just offer the basics until, you know, you're ready to have a device that has more features on it. So I just don't like the idea of giving unrestricted access to the internet to my kid. And that's the choice that I've made, or my husband and I have made. And I know that each household has its own rules and values, and I respect that, but that's the choice that we made. And we are an exception. I think he's one of very few kids in his class who they don't have their own device, meaning a phone or a tablet.
Right, exactly. Wow. So what about a tablet? He doesn't have a tablet either. Does he use one at home that you own?
He does not have a tablet. No, I don't use a tablet. So he does get screen time. He enjoys some video game time, and we have a structure in place for that and limits around it. And we do have a home computer. And he does have a Chromebook for school that he submits assignments on. So, you know, there is tech around and there is that happening, but we're trying to be thoughtful about it. So,
I find that to be totally amazing. And I love the idea because so many times one experience in my life itself is you go out to dinner and then there's toddlers on iPads at the dinner tables at the restaurants because it keeps them busy. And I'm thinking, wow, if you're going to start this 2-year-old on a tablet, I mean, where do you go from there, right? So I think it's amazing that you've done that with your family. It works for you and that's wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, we can still offer kids crayons at the restaurant or pencil and paper, tic-tac-toe.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Playing with the salt shakers like we did, all that kind of stuff. So very good. So let's talk a little bit about authenticity now. What role does that play in all this for you?
Well, for me, as an indie author, I am mindfully marketing my book on social media. Of course, that is the modern way, but I'm not on every platform, and I'm trying to be authentic because the book is about technologies influence, and I can only stretch myself so far. And knowing that I am a good correspondent, I don't want to be on every platform. So I'm using Facebook, Instagram, mm-hmm. LinkedIn, and Goodreads only. And some people might say that I should be on Twitter or TikTok or Snapchat or something else. But for me, I'm just keeping that boundary because that's what works for me. So mindful marketing and putting my work out there in ways that feel fitting, that's authentic to me, such as your show. I thought this would be a good fit for me, and I feel that it is, and I'm thankful. And also, let's see, I am conscious of fans and followers and not associating with certain people. So on Instagram, for instance, people look at numbers and think that people are successful based on those numbers alone. And I don't agree with that mindset. I weed through my followers and mm-hmm. remove followers, probably 1/5 of the people who people or bots who yeah. try to connect with me, I remove them. Because to me, quality is more important than quantity. So that feels authentic to me mm-hmm. to take the time to weed through. It's not perfect, but it's something I could do. Also, I'm aware of public versus private profiles that I'm maintaining and what I'm willing to do there. So, for instance, I don't normally connect with people I have not met in person on my private, meaning personal, page that I use to share family pictures on Facebook. With a handful of exceptions for, like, people I've met on Zoom or you, maybe, you know, for right. example, I really don't connect with people there on my private account that I have not met in person, and I'm pretty good about that. Yeah. On my public professional pages, that's different, but like I said, I'm still weeding through and choosing right. quality. So those are some examples of what I'm doing to be authentic in my authorship role. And I am, you know, a mom, and I have to keep privacy concerns in mind for my kids. I don't share a lot of pictures of my kids on my public pages. Mm-hmm. And I think people should make that decision consciously when they sign up for an account. What is their intention? Are they selling something, or are they just sharing family pictures? And if it's family pictures, I recommend a private page.
Private, yeah. These are really good. You know, I love that you shared the part about the numbers don't necessarily mean anything, because you don't hear that a lot. You hear the bragging about how many followers, but like you just pointed out, how many are bots or how many are just whatever, you know, that are out there online in all of these platforms. I think it's really smart that you do that. And I think it's admirable, because it must take a lot of time, you know, to weed through that. It's not something that's easily done. So I applaud you for stepping into that authenticity and keeping it. That's really awesome. Very good.
Thank you.
So we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And if you want to call in and ask Tamara a question or talk to her, you can call in now. The number is 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
Award-winning author Katherine Ramsberger draws on her 25 years as a humanitarian journalist in a timeless love story that spans cultures and speaks to the soul. When a UN worker's desire to make a difference brings unbearable choices, will she stand true to herself? Find out in 1,000 Flying Things, launching this June, which early reviewers call empowering, healing, and riveting. Discover more at KatherineBrownRamsberger.com and sign up to receive a free East Meets South e-cookbook.
Hi, I'm Elliot Robertson, spiritual growth coach. In these tough times when things are rocky with finances, we need to step into our spiritual maturity like never before. My short ebook, Preparing for the Coming Bank Closures, can help you with spiritual growth and help you to tap into a willingness to trust life. To get your free copy of this book, email me at ElliottRobertsonJoyfulReal.com. Elliot has two L's and two T's.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Tamara Miller Davis, talking about digital wellness. So, Tamara, let's talk a little bit about, let's say people are listening and they say, you know what, that sounds good, you know, being more mindful regarding social media or being on your phone or tablet, whatever it is. What do you believe is the first step for a person who wants to begin to be more mindful about this?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. And I think people should consider old school habits and low-tech alternatives, such as having a home phone if you have kids. That is still an option without having to get them a cell phone if you're leaving them home alone or something. You can get a home phone. You could mm-hmm. use an old plug-in alarm clock, a regular watch or a digital watch, but a low-tech watch.
Right.
And a calculator, you know, we can still use regular calculators versus the ones on our phone. Now, our mm-hmm. phones are tools, and we can continue to use them as tools. But I guess I would suggest that people examine their intentions when going online and consider what they're doing with a post. If they are posting something on social media, like what are they promoting? What are they encouraging? What are they raising awareness around? And if it's for a good cause, like prompting people to go outside maybe and enjoy nature or to support a local business or to celebrate mm-hmm. somebody's accomplishment, that's good stuff. But if it's to cause upset, maybe that's not so good, and maybe that person should check themselves before they go about that post. Mm-hmm. Also, I would recommend just asking yourself if there are apps that you could delete and if there are times that you could leave your phone at home or away from you somehow, like if you're going on a walk, if you could leave your phone behind. Mm-hmm. I do not sleep with my phone, and I realize that there are reasons for people to sleep with their phone, but for most people, we don't need to sleep near our phones, and definitely teenagers do not need to sleep near their phones, unless mm-hmm. there's an exception for medical reasons or whatever. But
right.
I would have limits on screen use if that works within your household. What else? I would talk to your kids about their feelings when they use social media, if they use social media or messages in general, and talk to them about cyberbullying and, mm-hmm. You know, ask your kids, ask yourself if your kids are old enough to process what they're interacting with and mature enough to handle it and respond to it. And if not, maybe they shouldn't have access to mm-hmm. those things. And also, parents should keep in mind that internet is a portal to pornographic material.
Mm-hmm.
So parents might want to keep tabs in that way, if possible.
Right.
So, yeah, those are some suggestions that I have. You can have a contract in place for your kids or your household. You can have rules in place, structure. It's not hopeless to think you get a phone for your kid and anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend the site Screenagers. It is a documentary, and there have been two sequels made. But if you go to the website, you can sign up for the emails and have tips emailed to you. There's also a podcast associated with that. Also, Common Sense Media is a site where you can plug in a book or a movie or a TV show and get an age rating and some Ooh. Thoughts around that media. And also, I've mentioned Wait Until 8th. So those are three websites that I recommend to parents. And there are more noted in the back of my novel. It is only offered in paperback form. And that's another place that authenticity comes up, because it's not an ebook and it's not an audio file. And I'm trying to promote reading in a regular form. And for this novel, it's mixed media. So the artwork and the varied formatting look best on a printed page, I believe.
Awesome.
So you mentioned earlier, and I can't get it out of my head, that typically a person looks at their phone, I think you said 80-something times a day.
Yeah.
So how can we, drop that amount? What steps, as adults, obviously not even kids, as adults, how can we be more mindful? Because it becomes a bad habit. It's like putting cookies in your mouth if you're bored. I see it like that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're bored, you pick up your phone, what's happening? So do you have any suggestions for adults? How do you limit your screen time?
Yeah, I would just say resist the urge if you're bored. Think of something else to do, such as stretch, exercise, read, go for a walk, call somebody, actually, have a talking conversation. And all of the other things that I already mentioned as far as leaving your phone behind or in the car or at home and not having it in the bedroom, it definitely interferes with sleep if it's nearby. And, just asking yourself if there's another way to do what you're trying to do, such as calculate or, having an alarm clock. Directions. Mm-hmm. I mean, directions are handy. I definitely use the directions that are electronic, but we also have an atlas. And when going on a road trip, I appreciate an atlas or physical map.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I remember those days. Taking out the map. They worked really well, too. I could get anywhere with a map. That was amazing before GPS. Very good. So let's talk a little bit about how to get a hold of you in your book.
Yeah, so I also write for the Ventura County Mom Collective, and I am a teacher in Ventura. Regarding my book, I am a substitute teacher, I should say. Regarding my book, I would refer people to The Hub, which is my website, despitethebuzz.com, because all of the links are there. For Instagram, I am Tamara Miller Davis, and for Facebook, my professional page is Despite the Buzz. And then on LinkedIn, I believe I'm just Tamara Davis, and the book and I are both on Goodreads. So those are my links, and I welcome people and invite them to join my newsletter. I don't send many emails, but probably once every other month, I'll send some insights that have to do with writing, reading, digital wellness, and things related to indie authorship.
Very good. Awesome. So is there one last thing you'd like to say to a listener, Tamara, something that's deeply on your heart today?
Sure. I think that writing can have the power and potential to be impactful. And I encourage people to write either just for themselves, for clarity and therapy, or for others to share things that can be inspirational. And I'm trying to put my work out there in ways that feel fitting, and this is one way. So thank you for listening today. If you're interested in the digital wellness cause, please connect with me and be open to changing some habits so that you can be mindful and have more balance in your life.
Wonderful. So I didn't ask you this earlier, but how has the book been received?
Yeah, it's been well received. Thank you. I have over 60 great reviews, and part of my journey is just thinking about how technology is affecting our thoughts and behavior, and asking myself what I can do to help the cause. And because I'm a writer, I chose to write a book, and people are relating to the distracting nature of phones and the online exposure and electronic accountability. So readers are liking it, and we're connecting in other ways too, and opportunities have opened for me regarding the Ventura County Mom Collective contributions that I do in the way of articles every month and this show and other interviews. So I'm really thankful to be at this place in my writing journey.
Awesome. Well, you know, you certainly are perfect for the show because what you've done is very authentic and very daring. It takes a lot of courage to not only speak about digital wellness, but to go ahead and write an entire book about it, a novel about it, because it's the opposite of what is, it's the opposite of what people are talking about. It's the opposite of what society is pushing. Society is pushing more towards digital, not away from. I love the way you talk about the old school methods, like a regular phone, right? And an alarm clock. Mm-hmm. We got along fine. We didn't have cell phones. Sometimes I tell my kids stories. They don't even believe me. They're like, well, if you went somewhere with your friends, how did you all get there and know you were there? I'm like, we all said meet at 8 o'clock and we met at 8 o'clock and whoever wasn't there, we figured they couldn't make it. And when we got home later, we called them on the phone from our house. And so, it's so alien to them, but to me, it seems more simple. You know, there was, when I don't have my phone with me, sometimes it's almost a relief. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I don't have to, people are not going to be texting me. They can, but I won't know it, or calling me or anything. I'm just doing my thing. So thank you so much for bringing this this subject forward, because I think it's wonderful.
Thank you. And thanks for weighing in that way. I think it's important that we create space to check in with ourselves, you know,
yes.
And I try to come from a place of compassion and curiosity and concern. And so by writing this book, I was able to consider the complexities within different topics, not just digital wellness, but other timely topics, and to show sensitivities toward them. So I hope that if you read the story, you enjoy and appreciate it. And thank you for this opportunity.
Well, it's been entirely my pleasure, Tamara. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And thank you for listening in to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I want to remind you that this is a live show. However, a replay is being created as we speak. So please spread this. Spread this, especially if you know people with kids, people who are struggling with digital wellness for their kids, for their family. It's going to be available indefinitely. Very good. Any last thing you'd like to say, Tamara, before we close?
Just thank you for recognizing the courage and vulnerability it takes to share our work. And I recognize that there is good within social media and within technology and cell phones, but we just have to be mindful of how we're using it as a tool. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you for saying that. Yes, there is good. There's a lot of good to be able to connect with people around the world and be able to see them, that's be able to do. Okay, well, make sure that you catch us next time on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell. Broadcasting live from Southern California.